I would like for you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're also going to turn to Romans chapter 15, but I'd like for you to stand with me if you would, out of respect to God and His Word, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to speak to you this morning about one of the greatest failures of our lives, dealing with frustration. One of the greatest failures of our lives, dealing with frustration. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, and the Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Turn back to Romans chapter 15, if you would. Powerful verse here. One of the things that, if I get our counselees to understand this verse, it's life-changing. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now watch what the Bible says. "Now the God of what, folks? Hope." He is the God of hope. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope," and here's the big player in the room, "through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come today to present your word. I pray right now, Lord, that my mind and my heart will be yours. I submit myself to you. I pray, God, that you'll control me by your Spirit. I pray that, Lord, you'll open your word to us. I pray that you will be our teacher today. Pray for your power here, your presence. I pray, God, if there's a person here that's unsaved today, that they will see their need of salvation. God, if there's a person here today who is struggling in their life, I pray that you'll help them and encourage them today. I pray also, Lord, if there's a person here that's out of fellowship with you today, God, that they'll have their fellowship restored. I pray that you'll make your word real to us. Pray that you'll help us. I need your help. We need your help. Meet with us now. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are thankful for the opportunity to come and preach here today. And we, our greatest desire, of course, is that you would be encouraged in the Lord today. Our desire is to be an encouragement to and help those who need help. And so the number one thing that I do as a biblical counselor and marriage speaker is to try to help people to move out of a feelings-dominated life and emotion-led, flesh-controlled life and into a controlled by the Holy Spirit, biblical, principled-driven life. Now, we want people to have a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God. Now, I want to ask you something this morning, because and I'm a question asker, and most of you know that. Now, I want to ask you this question. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Not that you hope so. Not that you're possibly thinking so. You need to know so. Because that's the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life. Now, you know, some people talk about to us about how bad their life is every day. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you die and go to hell, you're going to realize that there's nothing as bad as that. Nothing. You think your life is bad now? This is the worst of bad. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Did you hear that? Most of the people we deal with are, you know, Christians, a lot of pastors, a lot of missionaries, living defeated, discouraged, downtrodden, don't understand, can't get it. And they think their life is bad. But I'm here to tell you, if you die today apart from Jesus Christ and go to hell, you're not even going to you're going to get a real understanding of what bad really is. So if you don't know, or you're not sure, now's the time to make sure. Because you don't know what a day's going to bring forth. You could die today. You know, after 42 years of pastoring, I've had people that have left services and thought they were coming back tonight, and they didn't. So I want you to really understand that without being saved, nothing's going to work. Because the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. And He is the big player in this room. I tell our counselees this. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And you all know that verse. But let me see if I can point it out to you like this. God the Father loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that He died upon the cross of Calvary and was buried and rose again and went back to heaven, and He sent the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who loved you so much that He has come here to this world to live in your heart, to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to be with you, and to help you. Now, I think that's real love, don't you, Pastor? I think that's real love. And, you know, but so I want to share with you this morning one of the things that we deal with all the time. And in a few months back, the Holy Spirit reminded me about the importance of something that is extremely important to our emotional and spiritual well-being and is an encourager to our faith. Every day at Hope Biblical Counseling Center, we hear about the defeat, the despair, the discouragement, the frustration. How many of you have ever been frustrated? Nah, none of you, right? Brother Gardner, you've never been frustrated, have you?
Oh, no.
Never, all right. Now, Mrs. Gardner, you've ever been frustrated? I mentioned to him, I said, "I didn't know you were going to go back to Canada." And she looked at me and says, "I didn't know it either." So, okay. You know, now, I want you to understand, though, that frustration's a big deal spiritually. And, you know, so when we think about it, the people that we deal with that have the frustration and the seeming helplessness that many Christians feel are great impossibilities in their lives. And many that are devastated, hurt, filled with despair and doubts and fears and worry in their lives. So, you know, I can say to you, I got 10 points today and I can go quick, you know, but I just want to let you know that I'll say something and I'll let you know that's a point, okay? Now, okay, so point number one, God wants you to have hope today. You know, we read this passage in 15:13, and I want you to notice it says, "Now the God of hope," and He is the God of hope, "fill" who?
You.
You, thank you. All right, now you all are going to have to help me, okay? Okay, because as I read it, I'm going to ask you a question. So it's Phil who?
You.
You guys are still going to have to come along now. And peace. He wants you to fill you with all joy and peace. Did you read it? God wants you to have hope. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. Now I have a question. Is that your life? Now, if it's not, something's wrong. If it's not, something's wrong. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And notice the next two words. In what, folks?
Believing.
You're going to have to believe that God wants you to have hope, joy, and peace. In believing. So, I want to ask you this morning, do you believe God really wants you to have hope, joy, and peace? Then why don't we? Well, the Bible has the answer to that. Now, notice what it says, and that ye may abound in hope. Wow. Now, I grew up in Indiana. What do you think of? What do you think of when you think of abound? Now, I'll tell you what I think of. I grew up in Indiana, farmland, flat land. And in the summertime, miles and miles and miles of corn. They used to run a commercial on TV there. It says, we plant corn in Indiana. Well, duh. And so you look out in the summer and that corn, it's beautiful as you look out across it. It's beautiful. And then they cut it all down. And you look out over that fields, all over those fields, and you can look for miles and just see fields. And Billy, what I've always thought about in abounding is it's like running across that field, jumping up in the air, having no care in the world. Abounding. Do you know what we just read this morning? It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Abounding. But again, here's the big player. Through the power of the what? Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. The big player in the room. Now, we're not talking about the charismatic movement. Pastor Miller is not going to let anybody go running around this auditorium hooting like a freight train. Nor is he going to let anybody run up and down this aisle and chew the carpet. None of that. Or getting on top of the pews and doing all that kind of silliness. The Holy Spirit is here if you're saved to indwell you, to help you. But you're going to have to submit to Him. Without submission, it's not going to work. Did you hear me when I was praying this morning? I said, I want to submit myself to you. The moment you submit to the Holy Spirit, you now have His power, and His power is greater than he that's in the world, Satan. So you really want to see God do great and mighty things in your life, and He wants to. You have to learn to submit. You have to learn to submit. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God the Holy Spirit, and you'll have his power at that moment. And that's a big deal. Because you need to understand this now. And so I'm going to open some windows for you here that's very important to understand. Now, folks, he wants you to abound in hope. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace and not live in bitterness and its friends, anger, criticism, and gossip. Now, and so next point, without the Holy Spirit's power, you're going to fail. Without the Holy Spirit's power, you're going to fail. Did you notice that you cannot live in peace and joy and abound in hope without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you submitting yourself to God, the Holy Spirit, each day and each moment of the day to be controlled by Him? If not, you'll not have the power you need. His power. Point. One of the greatest, I'm already at three, amen. One of the greatest hindrances to our lives today is frustration. One of the greatest hindrances to our lives today is frustration. Frustration. You know, me saying that word, did you just by hearing that word cause you to start feeling it? You know, something popped into your mind that you're frustrated about? I believe that frustration, from what I have seen biblically and what I see in people's lives, I believe that frustration is one of the sins that leads to many other sins. When a Christian gets saved, they have all the tools of God that they need at their disposal. And the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. You now have His power. However, many Christians don't plug into the power. I think I'm saved and that's all has to happen here. I don't plug into the power. Now, I saw the brother in here vacuuming the floor yesterday. Is that thing on the back? That's cool. Now, was that your idea, brother, to have that thing goes on your back and walk around? Okay. Now, tell me your first name. Will, that's right. I remember that. All right, Will, it takes me three times with names, you know, and it's been a while. So Will's in here, and he is vacuuming all over. And, you know, and so he's been in here an hour vacuuming. And Pastor Miller comes in, and Will's sweating. And he says, you know, Pastor, I can't pick up nothing with this thing. I've been in here for an hour. And so Pastor Miller looks at him and looks over. He said, now, Will, if you plug that thing in, it might work. Okay, so many people are trying to run their vacuum without power. So many people are trying to run their life without God's power. Y'all with me? They're trying to run their life without the power of God. And yet they wonder why everything doesn't work well. Why my life is a mess. Why I'm a grudge holder. Why I am distressed. Why I'm frustrated. Now, I illustrate this like this. You know, it does not work until you plug into the power, and you must plug into the Holy Spirit's power by submission. Amen? All right, now. So it's my desire to be a spirit-controlled person and who has a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God so I can see God do great and mighty things in my life. And God wants to do great and mighty things in your life if you allow Him to. Now, I want you to turn back to 1 John chapter 1. All of our counselees read 1 John multiple times. When we start them out on doing their devotions, there's two reasons. Number one, 1 John is the book that tells you that God loves you. 33 times in these five little chapters, God tells you that He loves you. Boy, if there's one thing this world needs to know right now, it's that God loves them. The second thing is it teaches you how to have fellowship with God. Now, your fellowship with God, ladies and gentlemen, is a very big deal. Whether you understand it at this moment or not, it is. And I hope by the time I'm done that you really get it. Now, I want you to look at this at verse 4 with me. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Full." So he's writing 1 John and the Bible so that your joy may be full. So God wants you to have hope, joy, and what? Peace. Now, look at verse 6 with me. Now, I want you to see this contextually talking to Christians. In verse 6, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Uh-oh. He's talking to believers here and he says, "If we say." Now, Pam, if you walk in here this morning and you walked up to all these different people and you said, "Cindy, are you in fellowship with God? Do you have fellowship with God today?" What do you think the answer is going to be? Yes. I suppose that if you ask that question of anybody in here, they would say yes. But the Bible here says, if we say that we have fellowship with God, and we don't, that's a serious problem. So if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and notice what the Bible says here, and walk in darkness. So it is possible for a person who is saved to walk in darkness because they are not in fellowship with God. Wow. And so, you know, all the people that talk to us, they're not in fellowship with God. They come in for marriage counseling, they're not friends. And yet, they're all pretty much members of independent Baptist churches. And one of the things that I know that we lack is a real emphasis on this subject. Listen. Without fellowship with God, you cannot have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You hear me? Without fellowship with God, you will not have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we don't do the, we're not practicing. It says you don't do the truth. You're not practicing the truth. You're not only lying to yourself, you're lying to God, and you're lying to others. Now, don't you think that's serious? And then when your life was boom. I don't know what happened here. I'm so depressed. And if you're in here with depression today, I understand it. It means you've lost hope. The people that come to us are losing hope or they've lost hope. I don't know what to do. You don't understand what they've done to me. Well, yes, I do. But are you going to let that control your life? So, Laura, every day, We tell our counselees every day before you do anything, before you open your Bible. Because God's not going to teach you from His Word if you're out of fellowship with it. So before you open your Bible, before you do anything else, God, is there any sin that stands between you and me today? Now, one of the tools that God has given us is to ask Him questions. And by the way, asking God a question is submission. So I ask God, I tell our counselees, is there any sin that stands between you and me today? I want you to show it to me. And when God shows it to you, what's your name, brother?
John.
John, I remember that now. All right, John, you know, and God shows it to you. And you know, you wasn't even really thinking about that. God, I want you to forgive me for that. And is there anything else that stands between you and me? God shows John something else. He confesses that, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to ask you a question. You know, you've all learned about social distancing, right? All right, so somebody comes in here this morning and they haven't taken a bath for 2 weeks. And they sit down beside you. Now, I suspect if few people did that, we'd have a lot of social distancing. Think about it. So if I don't take a bath, I don't get clean. And if I don't ask God the question if there's any sin that stands between Him and me, I spiritually don't get clean. So I need to be in fellowship with God before I start doing anything. So is there any sin that stands between you and me? Show it to me. Secondly, is there any hurt that I'm allowing to control me, whether it be a person or circumstantial? You know, hurt's a big issue. If I ask you to raise your hand in here and say, how many of you have ever been hurt? You would raise, everybody in here should raise their hand, right? So how you deal with hurt is going to determine whether you're going to be in fellowship with God or not. Thirdly, and of course, if God shows you that there is something controlling your life, your husband, your wife, and a hurt issue, am I going to allow that to control me, or am I going to turn, I'm going to ask for forgiveness for that, and I'm going to turn it over to God? Thirdly, because this is a big deal. God, is there any bitterness in my heart toward anyone right now? Or any situation? Bitterness is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a root sin, and once it gets into your heart, you know, Jeremiah 17:9 says that our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? We can't know our own heart. Verse 10 says, I, God, search the heart. And so I'm going to let God search my heart and show me if there's any bitterness in it. And when He shows me that there's bitterness in my heart towards someone or some circumstance, I'm going to ask for forgiveness for it. Because bitterness is a root sin, though, I'm going to have to ask God one more question. Please take this out of my heart, because God is the one that's going to take it out. Amen? Amen? You following me? Bitterness is a root sin, and it has long arms. And by the way, the Bible says that if you have bitterness in your heart, you defile others. That means you defile everybody you come in contact with. Think about COVID. It's kind of like that. If you got bitterness in your heart, you're going to defile others. So now that I'm in fellowship with God, You know, and so here comes my day. And you know, it's not too long in the day until the car doesn't start. Or the dog got sick on the floor. Or worse. You know. Or the washer doesn't work. You know. I stub my toe on that step. And, you know, and all of a sudden it's Alexander and the no good, horrible, very bad day. And if you're not very careful, it's every day is going to be a no good, horrible, very bad day because you're not in fellowship with God. And you're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, listen to me and listen carefully. You know, you see those windows on the ship, those little round holes, they call them portals. And when that portal window is open, water can come pouring in. And water inside a ship's bad news, right? Okay? So when you are out of fellowship with God, you're leaving the portal hole open. You're giving Satan a portal in your life. And so therefore, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not seeing things clearly. You're not submitting yourself to God. And therefore, it's a no good, horrible, very bad day. And that's my life. And I hate it. So I have to close that portal by being in fellowship with God. And so now, point. So Satan tries to deceive us with frustration. Do you hear me? Satan tries to deceive us with frustration. And turn back to Galatians with me, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 22. Now, it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What's that next word, folks? Long suffering. Keep that in mind now. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. So what happens when someone or something fails to meet your expectations? Frustration. Now the Bible here says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to have to use long-suffering, God's method, rather than frustration, Satan's method. Amen? So what happens when someone or something fails to meet your expectations? Now, I want to show you something else here. Look at verse 19, if you would. Now, if you're out of fellowship with God, you're saved, but you're out of fellowship with God, you're capable of doing anything in this list. You're capable of doing anything in this list, and watch this list. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. By the way, the word for here, uncleanness, is pornography. That's what it means. Lasciviousness means unbridled lusts. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. Revelings is a very bad word. And such like. Now it goes on here to say, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now if you do that and God doesn't convict you about that, you're not saved. But if you're out of fellowship with God, you're fully capable of doing those things. Fully capable. So now you have to understand how important your fellowship with God is, and you need to take it seriously, and you need to realize that you need to be vigilant with it and not let yourself ever have one moment of one day where you're out of fellowship with God. So you have the opportunity to respond one of two ways, with frustrations, Satan's way, or long-suffering, God's way. And folks, honestly, I think that our biblical counseling program, this is one of the most difficult to get people to understand. Why? Because we deal with frustration every day. And our frustration becomes a natural thing in the way a Christian deals with their life. Excuse me. Also, it really causes us to climb up the emotional ladder pretty quickly. So many Christians think that they can deal with frustration in the flesh daily, and it's okay, just a way of life for them. They've never considered, listen to me, they've never considered what frustration really is or what it does. Now, when we arrived back home after preaching for a month and being gone, we had some problems. Everything at our house worked well when we left. And let me say this, technology is a wonderful thing when it works well. But it can be miserable when you deal with getting it fixed. And how many of you have had something not work and then try to get the company responsible for it to fix it? Frustration. So three of our technology devices just did not work when we arrived home. No one used them while we were gone. Calling customer service is a comedy of errors. As calls are dropped, you can't understand what they're saying, and I'll transfer you to someone else. They transfer you to someone else or drop the call, and you go back through the maze of press one or up to nine numbers, and then you get to do it again after you've done it the first time or the second time or the third time. And, of course, they tell you that there are answers on their website, and please go there. And, of course, the answer for your problem is not directly addressed on their website. And one of the company's customer service line says, "We cannot talk to you right now. Please contact us through our message system." Really? Now, folks, I had to do that with three companies. Makes a man of prayer out of you. See, are you letting... Now, just listening to what I said there, were you getting frustrated? I hate that. Dial one for this, and dial two, and then you dial the number, and you get to the next number, and they ask you to dial a bunch of numbers again. Good night, just give me a person. Amen. Yes, amen. I mean, boy, customer service just went through the floor. And of course, they've used the pandemic as an excuse too. You know, but I had to do that with three companies. Now, you're letting your anxiety and frustration level go up by hearing what I'm saying. Point, frustration is Satan's tool. Frustration is Satan's tool. However, I think if we're honest, with many people, it doesn't take much to get them frustrated. And they don't understand they're falling right into Satan's trap. Many people allow frustration to control them every day, and you're not going to get anywhere yelling and screaming at people, especially your spouse and children. Now, you know, we were talking about at lunch yesterday. I was telling Pastor, and I know you've probably seen these signs too. See a sign on the door as you come into a restaurant that says, "Please don't yell and scream at our help. We're understaffed. We're trying to do the best we can." You're never going to get anywhere yelling and screaming at people, including your wife or your husband. Especially your spouse or your children. Point. Many people live in frustration because they've never learned how not to live without frustration. Many people live in frustration because they've never learned how not to live without frustration. Therefore, every day is a frustrating experience. Frustration starts a path of destruction. Frustration leads to anxiety, worry, anger, bitterness, fear, discouragement, and depression, loss of hope. God does not want us to live a life of frustration because of where it leads us and what it says about us and Him to others. Do you hear me? Say it again. God does not want us to live a life of frustration because where it leads and what it says about us and Him to others. Did you know that anxiety is all about you and nothing about God? Turn back to Philippians 4. Now, the Bible says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord when, folks? Always. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Question. Go to this side of the room this time. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
And again, I say rejoice. So, question. Is that your life? Think about it. Think about it. I've had people that I've counseled, you know, people out of fellowship with God, pastors that are out of fellowship with God, missionaries who are out of fellowship with God, lay people that are out of fellowship with God, and they'll say, that's not possible. Look at verse 13. I can do all things. Did you see it? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So it is possible. And I'm going to show you how. So is it possible to live a Spirit-controlled life? The answer is yes. Instead of living a frustrated life with people and things every day? And look at verse 5. And when you see "let" at the start of a verse, it always means that you have to make a decision. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation means Spirit-controlled or self-control. So that so let it be known unto who? All men that the Lord is at hand. Where? In your life. Because frustration says something about you and about God. Now, the verse 6 says, be careful or anxious for everything. No, it says nothing. Be anxious, be careful, anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication means to ask for something humbly, and thanksgiving, and there's God's big tool. Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now move over to verse 8. Look at the last phrase. And if there be any, what, folks? Praise. That's God's number two big tool. Thanksgiving and praise. Think on what? These things. Now if you look at verse 8, there is absolutely nothing negative in there. So God wants you to have Philippians 4:8 moments every day so you won't be frustrated, so you'll have joy and peace. If you're a person who is in fellowship with God at the moment of impact, whenever something happens, you know, so now I know that none of you ladies would do this, but, you know, I pastored for 42 years. A long time. Been married for almost 49 years. Long time. And you know what? I'll tell you this. When you think about the ways that you can be frustrated and how you handle yourself at the point of impact. So immediately, we teach our counselees, immediately, when something happens, you need to, Lord, I want to submit myself to you. I want to turn this over to you. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? Now, I've had ladies in our churches who, you know, they'll walk in and then maybe there's a younger woman there and she has some children and she's in today and she's, you know, she's had a difficult morning just getting the kids ready and getting in and, you know, she forgot to do something for herself and a lady will walk up and say, well, Linda, my goodness, child, look at you. You need to take better care of yourself. What a shame. Now, Linda has one of two things she can do. Who does she think she is? Talking to me that way. Well, I'll tell you. I'll give her a piece of my mind. Well, now you best not. Because you start giving away pieces of your mind, you may not have a lot left. And all the way home, Will, do you know what she said? I can't believe she said that. Who? Oh, ah, you wait till I get back now. I'm going to tell her. Frustration. Instead of stopping thinking, stop, I can't go there. Think, Lord, I want to submit this to you. I want to turn it over to you. What do you want me to praise you for and thank you for? So you take control of your dark side rather than letting it control you so you can rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
Now, last thing. Have you ever noticed when frustration starts to creep up the back of your neck and you're starting to get anxious and angry? Most of the people we counsel live a life of frustration every day, and it leads to a lot of other serious problems in their lives. And you know what? I want to finish with this with you. I'm going to go back to this thing, that the three technological devices. And when we turn high, I started feeling the frustration and anxiety come up my neck. So I immediately had to stop and think and turn it over to God. But I want you to turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's our text where we started. I want you to see this. And this is powerful stuff here. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 6 with me. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The word humble here means submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of who? Come on. God. His hand is mighty. If you'll submit. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, turn it over to God, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Amen? So, turn it over to him. You know, we can trust God with the salvation of our soul. Why can't we trust him for details of our life? So that we can rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Now, I want you to notice and think about, your fellowship with God at this point. Verse 6. Be sober. Now, that means to be serious about this. And be vigilant. That means that you're on it. And you're always on it. Be sober, be vigilant, because. Why? So think about your fellowship with God, because your adversary. Who? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking him whom he may devour. Now, by the way, contextually here, he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to lost people. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who do you all think that Satan is devouring? What you got, young man? Okay? The people who are not in fellowship with God. So Satan's walking about seeking whom he may want. Satan and his minions. Now, Satan's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. But he's a great judge of character. He knows exactly which buttons to go after. The Bible says here he walks about seeking whom he may devour. It is the person who's out of fellowship with God, who's not having a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, who does not turn things over to God at the point of impact, and they're out of fellowship with God, so they're easy prey. The porthole window is open. Think about the window. If all the windows of your house were open, somebody's got an easy way to get in. So whenever you're out of fellowship with God, you've given Satan an easy way to get into your life. And so he uses frustration that leads to all of these other things. It's his tool. And if you as a Christian think, you know, I've had frustration, you know, and quite frankly, it's every day. But the problem is because you've just learned that frustration is a part of life, and so I'll deal with it that way. No, you can't. It's you're out of fellowship with God. You're in serious danger. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption or destruction. If he sows the Spirit, life everlasting. So what are you sowing today? Are you in fellowship with God today? You may be here and you're saved. But you're living a defeated life. You're angry all the time. You're frustrated all the time. You don't know what to do. You're mad at this and mad at that and mad at something else. And you don't even realize that Satan is working in your life. And frustration runs rampant. When frustration comes, ladies and gentlemen, rather than go up the frustration ladder to serious other issues, stop, think, turn it over to God, submit it to Him, make God real in your life at the point of impact instead of being out of fellowship with God. And when one of my issues seemed like it was going to be very difficult to get fixed on the technological issue, I stopped. And I turned the issue over to God. I could turn the concern over to God, and I at that moment God gave me real peace because I turned the issue over to Him. And as I was praying, listen to me. God reminded me of something He'd shared with me many years ago. Trust me to do great things in your life. Trust me to do great things in your life. Even in these frustrating moments, yes, especially in these frustrating moments. And you know what? The moment, and back in first in Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." At that moment, I decided to stop and think and turn it to God rather than allow frustration to control me. And God gave me a customer service person who took control of the problem and fixed it. And I said, "Praise God." I thank God and praise Him. I thank God and praise Him for His help again and again and again. And again, He wanted to remind me that I can live by faith and He can do great things in my life if I don't live a flesh-controlled life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hebrews 13, 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Use the tool. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? That it's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And it's a continual process. Have you ever noticed the ugliness of a Christian with a bitter or critical spirit? It's not a pretty sight. And you're out of fellowship with God, the result will be a lot of things will go wrong in your life. And you'll wonder why you're so defeated and why you're so discouraged. And you will not see the things that God wants you to see. You'll not believe with God all things are possible. And let me give you a thought that I hope will be helpful. Believe God for great things in your life. Believe Him. Believe God today. Believe God today for great things in your life. Have a great day in the Lord, and don't let frustration rule and reign in your life. God wants to do great things in your life, especially at the point of impact. And Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe God for great things in my life. I believe God for great things in your life. I know God wants to do great things in your life if you'll only let Him. If you'll only be willing to submit. If you'll only be willing to stop and think and turn this thing over to God and let Him deal with it rather than you continue to pound on it every day. And let it pound on you every day. Let God have the rule of your life. And He'll do great and mighty things. He'll do great and mighty things. And you'll see His hand in a way that you never have before. And then you'll say, why in the world have I allowed myself to live this way?